You're listening to The Taxcast from the Tax Justice Network, available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com. I'm Naomi Fowler, and each month I'll be bringing you news and analysis of a subject our politicians don't want to talk about: tax havens, the secrets of the shadow banking system, and financial abuses that have brought the world economy to its knees. I'll show you what's really going on, how we're paying for it, and what we can do about it. But first, the TaxCast news headlines for this month. French, Greek and German voters shook things up in Europe this month. France elected a new socialist president, François Hollande.
Dans toute l'Europe, au changement qui s'annonce, regarde vers nous et veulent terminer avec l'austérité.
Hollande campaigned for a fairer tax system, to protect public services and invest in what he calls the real productive economy. Those who earn over €150,000 a year will pay higher taxes. He thinks he can save €25 billion by closing tax loopholes, and he wants to create 60,000 new teaching posts. He's also a supporter of the so-called Robin Hood tax on banks. More on that later. Voters in Greece's elections rejected the parties that delivered austerity and committed them to impossible loan repayment terms. And German voters gave Chancellor Angela Merkel's Christian Democrat Party its worst results since the 1940s. So Europe's main driving force for cuts in social services could lose its own national elections in 18 months' time. Other electorates may follow France's rethink of finance policy, taxation and investment. Facebook co-founder Eduardo Saverin has renounced his US citizenship. He's moving to the tax haven of Singapore, described by some as the new Switzerland. He insists tax had nothing to do with his decision, but unfriending the US will save him as much as $100 million in taxes. Singapore has no capital gains tax, so he'll only pay a one-off exit tax on his fortune. Senator Schumer is trying to introduce legislation to tackle the small number of U.S. citizens who've done the same thing.
Saverin has turned his back on the country that welcomed him and kept him safe, educated him, and helped him become a billionaire. This is a great American success story gone horribly wrong. Any investment that's in the United States will be taxed. As for the rest of his money, unfortunately, he gets to do what he wants with it.
Facebook already exploits a stock option loophole. It's estimated to cost the US Treasury and taxpayers $25 billion over the next 10 years. This month's a busy one for those supporting a global financial transaction tax, sometimes called a Robin Hood tax. A proposed tiny levy on financial transactions would raise billions for the public purse and make the finance sector pay their fair share to get the global economy back on track. This month, the European Parliament will vote on it. Unions and campaigners are gearing up to make it a central issue in the coming US elections. And it'll be discussed at the G8, G20 and Rio summits. The tax is now supported by the IMF, the United Nations and the European Union Commission, as well as many countries including Brazil and South Africa. In Chicago, nurses marched this month in support of a Robin Hood tax. Nurse Roseanne DeMora spoke to the Real News Network.
We would reorganize the priorities. We would spin it on human beings, on healthcare, on jobs, on libraries, on teachers, on things that actually are part of a society, that build a society and build hope.
And those are the TaxCast news headlines. Now we're going to talk to economist Richard Murphy for his take on tax justice news this month. Okay, Richard, it's been an interesting month. Let's talk about François Hollande, France's new president.
He's a moderate left-wing president making noises on tax that we haven't heard a government of a major G8 country make for some considerable time. He's talking about taxing the rich quite significantly. He's talking about extending the French tax base to anyone who's got a French passport. So he's quite serious at looking at how can he create a serious progressive income tax and enforce it. Now, that's really big news.
What do you think his influence might be in Europe? Because Europe, let's face it, is in a lot of trouble at the moment and could really do with a progressive taxation system.
The message that François Hollande brings to Europe is that there is an alternative economic policy to that which has been dominating thinking. Well, we've seen that the period of austerity isn't working. The IMF has now told the UK to presume that it is not working and that an alternative is needed. But François Hollande is an elected politician saying it's not working and that tax is part of the solution. Europe needs money, obviously needs money to bail out the countries in Europe which are in trouble. He's talking about a financial transaction tax. Now, this is quite revolutionary stuff in tax because he sees that the state and taxation are solutions to the problems that have been created and created by the private sector. And in that sense, he's talking about a very different economic viewpoint.
Okay, and let's talk about the financial transaction tax because it hasn't been taken very seriously for a long time. But perhaps because of the economic problems in Europe, it now does seem to be on the table.
They need to be able to raise money. François Hollande, he's now taking this from the French Parliament, where it's had a long history of support, into the wider European arena. It is, of course, receiving an immediate rejection from David Cameron in the UK, defending the interests of the City of London. But the reality is that what we are seeing is that the shadow banking system, which is a major feature of banking and which is almost wholly unregulated to the point we don't really know who does it, we don't know how big it is, we don't know what its impact is, we don't even know what all its products are. Because we don't know any of that information, we need a tax to actually bring this whole financial sector under control, and this tax could achieve that result. The volume of transactions which are taking place inside the financial services sector are many, many, many times bigger than the total income of the world. We have to constrain this activity because it creates so much risk. Now, this is a massively important step towards putting finance back into its box, making it a servant of the economy again, and making it a useful function, which of course it can be. But the point is that tax is the agent for change here. I believe we're going to see an increase in the heat as tax becomes the real fault line in the left-right political divide about are you or are you not in favour of equality? Are you or are you not in favour of resolving this financial crisis by using the tax system as one of the components to achieve change? Are you or are you not in favour of ensuring that we create a fair worldwide taxation system which also taxes finance? François Hollande is proposing a financial transaction tax to redress that balance, to correct the under-taxation of finance, and to raise the money that Europe needs to get out of the mess it's in. Interesting times ahead.
Okay, let's talk about Singapore. Eduardo Saverin has relocated himself there and renounced his US citizenship. What's the attraction of Singapore, apart from the fact that they have no capital gains tax? It's sometimes described as the new Switzerland.
I often joke that UBS now stands for the Union Bank of Singapore, not the Union Bank of Switzerland, because in fact so many Swiss bank assets are undoubtedly being moved out of Switzerland and are going to Singapore. It's not just individuals who are moving there as well either. Trafigura, a major broking company, has just announced that it's moving to Singapore. And the prospect of people actually leaking information out of Singapore does at the moment seem very remote, because the penalties for breaching secrecy in Singapore are draconian for anybody who considered it. And so at the moment, the great attraction of Singapore to a lot of people who've previously been using Switzerland is quite simply that it is secret and there's every prospect that it will remain secret. There's more to it than that. It's also only taxing people who locate transactions there, so people who don't really live there, on the basis of a territorial tax system. What that means is, unless the income arises in Singapore, they don't tax it. So you can relocate your company to Singapore, and if it really doesn't trade very much in Singapore, then Singapore won't be taxing it. And if an individual moves to Singapore, makes it their main focus of residence, but their income all arises in another country, then Singapore again isn't going to be taxing them. So Singapore is a very small state with a very powerful government, is able to finance itself on taking a tiny proportion out of the incomes of those who relocate there for purely tax reasons. As a result, they can be a very effective tax haven, which is exactly what they are.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Murphy of Tax Research UK and author of The Courageous State. He'll be back next month. And now for the TaxCast special feature. Closing Dan tax havens isn't yet a make or break election issue, but in the meantime, insiders are speaking out and telling us what's really going on. This month on The Taxcast, rocking the boat.
Tax havens, they are highly parasitical, highly harmful. They encourage criminal activity, they enable criminal activity, and they have to be closed down.
That's John Christensen, and he should know. He's a former senior economic advisor to the tax haven of Jersey. Now he campaigns against tax havens as head of the Tax Justice Network.
I was in a very good position to understand how the clients were setting up their structures to impede investigation by outsiders. The big joke has always been those who talk don't know, those who know don't talk. And there's a good reason for that, because you earn an awful lot of money when you're working on the inside. I mean, stacks and stacks and stacks of cash. So you have every incentive for not becoming a whistleblower. But I went expressly into the system to find out how it worked and then come back out of it. And you had to be inside the system to find out really what was happening.
And there are other reasons for insiders to keep silent.
What I discovered behind the walls of secrecy of a major tax haven was clients who were engaged in all sorts of monkey business, ranging from insider trading, illicit political donations, market rigging, illicit arms deals, tax evasion and tax avoidance, not happening on a minor scale, but happening on a massive scale. Huge multinational companies setting up elaborate tax avoidance structures, which were clearly abusive, tax evasion systems, all sorts of means of enabling illegal capital flight out of poorer countries into the mainstream capital markets. And all of this happening behind walls of secrecy, protected by laws and regulations that the tax havens purposefully provide to enable this to happen. Every month I would send out an invoice to a subsidiary based in an oil-producing country, West Africa. The invoice ranged between $750,000 to sometimes $2.5 million every single month for totally fictional consulting and engineering services. No services were being provided. This was quite simply a way of shifting profits out of this West African country into an offshore company in Jersey and then passing it on to politicians in the West African country and all sorts of other people who were taking their cut of the oil revenues.
It's a familiar story for Swiss banker Rudy Elmer. At a dramatic press conference last year, he handed over two discs with data on tax evaders to Julian Assange of WikiLeaks.
I will not reveal any company names. What I want to do is to hand this over to WikiLeaks. And I say that again, WikiLeaks.
I'm against the system. I want to let society know how this system works, because it's damaging our society.
Actually, those discs were empty. Rudy Elmer calls it a symbolic act. He felt publicity through WikiLeaks was his only protection after he'd tried to report criminal activity in the Swiss bank where he worked in the Cayman Islands.
I was going against the system, against national interests, and the police and the bank and the media in Switzerland wanted to make sure that I going to be silenced one or the other way.
He was imprisoned, prosecuted, intimidated, and portrayed as mentally ill. He and his family were followed by private investigators around the clock.
They approached my daughter, offered her chocolate. My daughter, she was obviously afraid, so she ran home. She was only six. She said, I don't want to go to school anymore. One of the private detectives followed my wife. My wife was in the car with her mom and two children. We had to have the police involved to stop that chasing. Yeah, that's in Switzerland. You were talking about Switzerland, by the way.
John Christensen was also threatened and harassed when he spoke out. The government of Jersey even employed PR companies to try to damage his reputation.
I kind of rather naively assumed that governments were trying to act as forces for good and were actually trying to do the right thing, not just for the public of Jersey, but also for the world as a whole. But far from it, the politicians won't intervene. The politicians are easily talked into providing the right kind of regulation, which means no regulation or ineffective regulation, providing cover for criminal activity. And their attitude was the attitude of the three monkeys: see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil.
Thanks to those prepared to break ranks and speak out, the activities of tax havens and the damage they're doing to our societies and our economies are becoming clearer. Now, tax justice and financial transparency need to become mainstream #1 vote winners. You've been listening to the TaxCast. We'll bring you more news and analysis next month.